I've coined the phrase vanity publishing, and I currently have a Guinness World Record underway. The heading on that, by the way, is the oldest author to publish the most books in 1 year. I'm doing it for fun and giggles. I want my grandkids to have some bragging rights when I'm gone. They'll be fun, you know? And we made friends with a very famous published author who's only sold 400 million books. He said to me, don't ever do one book, David. You do a series of books.
Welcome to the My Future Business Show, where we get you in front of your best audience and keep you there. Not only are we interviewing the biggest names in business to help you become even more successful, we're inviting you to book your spot on the show to help you grow your business. So at the end of the call, make sure you fill in the interview application form at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. Hi, and welcome back to the My Future Business Show. As you know, my name's Rick Nusky. I am probably the luckiest person alive today because I get to speak with some amazing entrepreneurs, business owners, and on today's call, I'm with David Selly. How are you, David?
I'm great, thank you. Beautiful day here in Hawaii.
Oh, I can just imagine. Now, I know that you're the CEO and founder of International Entrepreneurs Association, and that's something we're going to deep dive into. But before that, I want to talk about your life to this point. I'd love to go over some of the details that have been provided to me because you've just got such an amazing story. So would you mind sharing a little bit about yourself with the My Future Business audience?
Sure. Well, I can give you the what I call my elevator pitch. I was born at an early age, 81 years ago in England, and I barely finished high school. I jokingly say that I finished high school with a master's degree in peripheral vision. And with that said, I ran away from home when I was 15. The conditions at home were pretty sparse. We had no running water, heat, or electricity. And of course, it was just post-war. Mm-hmm. So I split. I jumped on a ship in Liverpool, ended up in Montreal, mm-hmm. Worked my way to Vancouver, where I became office boy for the phone company. And by the time I'm 19, apparently I was a district manager because I was doing a good job. I was a jerk, but I did a good job. And I met my wife. That was 65 or 62 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And we've been married for 60 years. We immigrated legally to the United States in 1963. I had to register for the draft, and of course, that year was the year I was prepared. That was my as a kid, I was always motivated to come to the United States for a simple reason. It's a cute little story. I'll share it with you because it's impressive, and I have put together a little piece called Four Words. I'm happy to give that to anybody, but Four Words. Encompasses part of Mandela's inaugural address about being who you want to be and not being afraid to who you want to be. And those four words literally changed my life. But the four words that were given to me by a 10-foot-high black MP standing at the army gate of that army camp in Southwest England during the war. And he'd look down to me every day as I walked to school through there to go to school. With my sister, he would look down at me and say, "Sonny, go to America, Sonny." And those four words just literally have changed my life. And I know it sounds kind of trite, but it's true. And so we came, I came full circle, when we came to the United States that year in 63, Kennedy issued an executive order before his assassination, mm-hmm. Reclassifying 1A, conscripts to 3A, and therefore I didn't go into the service. But I was prepared to, and of course it would have been Vietnam if I'd actually done that. So, yeah. And since then I've been in corporate life in the cosmetic industry for many years. I've reinvented myself three times, a real estate business, and now I'm on my final stretch as we sail off into the sunset. We live in paradise before we go there.
Oh, fantastic. And it's funny you should say that. On one of your websites, you state with some gusto, I'm sure, I aspire to inspire before I expire. It really caught my eye, I have to say. It's wonderful. So given the amount, the depth and the breadth of where we could go with this call, I want to talk a lot about entrepreneurialism, what it means to you, and whether or not you feel that anybody can become an entrepreneur would probably be a good place to start.
Well, there are people a lot brighter than me that have different viewpoints on that. Of course, my own personal viewpoint is that I think entrepreneurship is tied very much to creativity. And of course, I have a feeling there's a chap that does this very well. His name is Sir Ken Robinson, who talks about the educational system basically killing a lot of creativity. And I kind of agree with that in a way. Mm. But and there's different schools of thought on, you know, does an entrepreneur have the DNA, jokingly about being an entrepreneur. In my case, I had my own paper route when I was nine. By the time I was 11, I had my own stamp business in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a thriving thing. And of course, I always had pocket money. So I was always popular. But then I learned the basics, you know, if you buy it for sixpence and sell it for a shilling, you'd make 50% or whatever it was. And yeah. So, but the entrepreneur, to answer the specific question, I don't believe everybody is intellectually or emotionally disposed to be an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're sort of a special breed, and there's different levels, of course. You know, some, I look at my thousands of connections on the LinkedIn site, and I see, you know, entrepreneur. And then when I look at the profile, what I see is that they've had a job for 30, 40 years. And granted, there could be some room for entrepreneurship within a corporate structure, but not that much, because you don't control the purse strings. You don't control many of the decisions. And so to be an entrepreneur, you have to be prepared to bite the bullet. And I've certainly done that a few times and shot myself in the foot. And I've made and lost a lot of cash flow, done all kinds of interesting stuff. But mm-hmm. So to answer the question, those that are blessed with the entrepreneur spirit, if they have it, I guess the guideline here is that they're actually doing something about it. If you have an idea, as an example, if you're not going to do anything, you can be an entrepreneur all day long, 24/7, 365. And if you don't do anything about it, you might as well stay on the job and keep a chair warm and collect a check.
Yeah.
But entrepreneurs are a special breed. I love my entrepreneur group.
and this is the thing I really want to dig deep with you on, David, because the matter of fact is that I know through the people that I've spoken with, a lot of people are coming from this corporate existence, if you like, and they're wanting to make that transition. But they don't really know the steps. You know, do I jump all in? Can I jump halfway in to the pool? Is it a all or nothing type of mentality? What do you say to that?
Well, it depends on several things. If if you have a significant other, you better be on the same page or looking at the divorce court. reality is the working environment or the job. You know, basically a job is a good place to start, but in my opinion, a lousy place to finish.
Mm.
And it does not normally give you the autonomy to be able to control your own life. And I mean, that's the way it is. You can't change it. So if someone is considering transitioning from, let's say, a corporate job, well, like I did, I mean, I was summarily sacked. What's the word in England? They call it made redundant. Mm-hmm. I love the expression. You lost your job, dude. Get over it.
Yeah.
Right? So, but the truth is, when you are in corporate life, there will come a time when you are either politically out. There's structural changes within the business itself,
mm-hmm.
Or you know, you're emotionally tug of war where you want to do something but you've never had the guts to do it. When you reach that point, a few thoughts for those people that are considering that: be very, very slow to make your decision, because it's literally a life-changing event when you change. You'll all of a sudden, you'll lose your cash flow.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to be an entrepreneur, you better make sure that what you're getting into really does have the potential to be able to create the cash flow that you need to live, unless you're doing a major adjustment in lifestyle. And that usually comes with it, by the way, because as you know, as well as I do, that most people live up to their cash flow.
Yeah.
And you know, they a new car, a new house, whatever. It's a continual expansion. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just that sometimes it's built on a kind of a rocky foundation. So
yeah, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, well, when you look at the opportunities that are around today, from your perspective, David, what are some of the areas of opportunities for up and coming entrepreneurs, do you think?
Well, I'll speak personally. For me, it's I have I have faced the discriminatory thing as an example, wanting to do something just to, you know, to have fun, to do something and have fun myself, maybe a little part-time job or something. But the reality is, much time there's because of the age limitations, that's not going to work. So my, from my personal point of view, I think the best opportunities lie on the technology, the internet being one example, and that's where I'm going. I've got a number of projects on the internet that I'm developing, and you know, for someone in my age range, my grandkids are my tech support team. But after a while, they get a little tired of asking, you know, grandpa asking questions. Why don't you just go read the book? The truth is, I think if you're running with technology, then you're going to do okay. Within that, there's lots of niches, of course, different niches.
And it's funny you mentioned that, because I really want to explore your journey so far with the online space, because I can see that you're heavily invested in various different ideas, products, services. Can we talk a little bit about, you know, how you personally come up with an idea and what triggers you to follow it through?
Oh, well, that's a, I wish I could go right to the reference book and give you the direct answer. I am highly creative. I can, it doesn't make me special, but I know that I can think something up and I'll come up with something and then all of a sudden put together a series of ideas. And I'll give you an example. I'll give you, this is a perfect example. I'm currently developing a site called ideamanexpert.com. That site was originally planned to be where you could put your idea on the site for a little fee, and then someone could buy your idea, license your idea, pay a royalty to you for it, or actually can, you know, have an auction. And I'm in the, that's in under development as we speak. About 3 weeks ago, I was sitting in California, and I have a business background, obviously, and I've owned a number of businesses. And I thought, well, why couldn't that site also include businesses for sale? So that's a natural, and you could say, well, that should have been thought out during the process of putting up the site. Well, maybe. But my original idea was, no one that I'm aware of has ever come up with the idea of actually marketing the someone's idea for sale. Now, there's a lot of sites out there that, you know, buy my idea and so on, but the idea is already developed. I'm talking about ideas that are still in the embryonic stage. And they may be useless, but, and someone may not know what to do, but they can put the site up, and so maybe they would take a 3% royalty, and you know, maybe someone with real skills and a creative mind could say, "Oh, that's a good idea." You know, I mean, I've got. I'll give you an example. I have a friend who's a PhD economics professor, and he's come up with a system, a proven system, of being able to teach students how to improve their scores legally. Now, he's got the system. He's tried to market it, you know, through the clubs and public speaking and so on. But that's a perfect candidate for my site. And so he's going to put it on there. And someone might like that idea, and maybe they'll spend $1,000, $10,000, $100,000 or a million. Who knows? But it's going to take someone with some, you know, vertical and horizontal skill sets to be able to say, yeah, that looks like a good idea. I could do something with that. And, of course, it's the motivation behind it that many times will propel it. I mean, I've had ideas and lost my shirt.
I'm sitting here thinking about something you've just mentioned, and by the way, I will make all of the URLs back to these individual sites available to everybody who's on the show today. I was thinking
Sure.
about something you said a little earlier about when you were setting this up, whether or not you should have thought about this. When somebody's coming up with a business idea, how important is it to recognize that it's not working, and is it acceptable to pivot your direction?
Well, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. Most entrepreneurs simply will not, because they're highly creative, they're not predisposed to doing a lot of research. In other words, it's let's get on with it. I don't need to do that because I know I'm convinced it's going to work. Well, that's kind of a stupid thing. The truth is, you've got to do some homework and do come to a basic reality of checking something out. And there's many ways of doing that. You can do it with surveys. Maybe it makes some test products. There's a number of ways of being able to validate whether your idea is good or not. I'll give you an example of and how you can do it and then still fail. Okay, I many many years decades ago, I came up with the idea. It was the and it, this ended up being registered on the U.S. Principal Register of the U.S. Trademark Office. The idea was lost and found, and I got a trademark, and I proved the idea that I would be able to have a local, regional, national, and international recovery service for lost or stolen merchandise that had a serial number on it. Now, this is pre-computer. That's how old it is, okay? And I ended up with a major bank. They were going to acquire the mark for $2 million. Of course, I had already spent the money mentally.
As you do.
And guess what happened? They did an actuarial study to statistically prove that the insurance companies would not allow it to work because their loss revenue, they'd lose revenue from recovery plus all the service operation. Now, that's a pretty in-depth situation when you think about it. And of course, it's never developed since. But you can still buy the mark if you want.
It's still there. If I might, David, I'd love to shift gears and talk about some of the, I guess, the different silos that make up a business. You know, your legal structure. I noticed one of your sites there talks about all of these different elements. Can we start off by sort of, I guess, exposing some of those things for the new entrepreneur who's listening today, and what they should be considering before jumping into the deep end as an entrepreneur, business owner?
Well, unless you have a proprietary product or a patent issue, I would keep it as a DBA or doing business as just a sole proprietor business. And all you'd have to do, usually you don't have to do much with that. You can operate from home. Sometimes you might require a local license, especially if you're out on the street selling your stuff. But you really don't need a huge structure. A lot of people, rush into setting up a corporation and doing all of that, and that's fine. I mean, that's a necessary part, but you need to, I believe, have a revenue stream before you do any of that. And you can prove that pretty much with a DBA or a very simple structure. I mean, a simple corporation would be more than adequate for the starting process. But all of my stuff, I have, and now I have it in trust. But I frankly believe that you can do an awful lot working from home, doing it, as an at-home business, sole proprietor business structure.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm looking at all of these elements that you have. I've got multiple tabs open, looking at all the different websites and the things that you're involved with. Can we deep dive into the International Entrepreneurs Association and share what that's all about?
Sure. That's my monster.
The elephant in the corner.
Well, it is. I'm currently seeking about $8 million for a VC to come on board. It's too big for me and needs a major thrust. But the idea is still solid and it's up and working. I know that, and here's the structure is we are in the process currently of appointing an executive director in each country. And that is a licensed position. It is a revenue sharing position. And it is also a philanthropic position whereby a percentage of all revenue is going to go back to a charity of that executive director's choice in each country. Wow. So, and tied to that will be international trade. Through a closed network of dealerships and, you know, programs that are worked out for international trade within the marketing group itself. So it's a the basic core, the core statement here, the mission statement is to teach and train entrepreneurs at the local level to get meaningful help that will be practical and low cost. And something that's not available right now in a real way. It's a, sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't, depends. But there's no global effort to train entrepreneurs on a large scale.
Yeah, there seems to be like country-based or state-based within countries, that sort of right. approach, but nothing globally.
Yeah, and then, you know, here's the rub. It's usually being taught at a school or university and being taught by a university professor who's never owned a business.
Yes.
That would be like me going to to a marriage counselor who's been divorced four times, and I'm going to get marriage advice from that person. I don't think so.
You'd probably be the better person to go to for that.
Yeah. Well, I get free counseling. that's one of my sites, by the way, for fun.
Yes, I noticed that. What have we got? Yeah. Let's just run through them. We have the abbreviated version of the International Entrepreneurs Association, which is at IEA777.com. You have another one, which I'd love to talk about in a minute, which is famous50.com, askdavidhowe.com,
yep.
and seniorparkusa.com. And uh-huh. the one we've already spoken about, the ideamanexpert.com, which is a fantastic idea. Let's flip back over to this famous50.com. What's this sure. all about?
Well, that's a really fun project. I've coined the phrase vanity publishing, and I currently have a Guinness World Record underway. The heading on that, by the way, is the oldest author to publish the most books in 1 year. I'm doing it for fun and giggles. I want my grandkids to have some bragging rights when I'm gone. It'll be fun. You know?
And, I love it.
And we made friends with a very famous published author who's only sold 400 million books. And I took a pay-to-play class with him about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He said to me, don't ever do one book, David. You do a series of books. So this record is a two-part series. The first part is called the Papa series. That's Papa 1, 2, 3, 4, so on. Papa the boy in England, Papa the young man in Canada, Papa the businessman in the United States, Papa the entrepreneur, Papa the, you know, it's yep. a Papa series.
Yep, yep.
And each book deals with a specific part of my life. Then the second series is the Famous 50 series, which is what I've coined as a vanity publishing series. Now, people will drop, you know, $50, $100 for a special license plate for their car.
Mm-hmm.
They will do certain things to to meet their vanity needs, whether it's a new hairdo or jacket or suit or whatever it is.
Yep.
It's all just part of human nature. And so this series is the way it's structured is this. There's about 113 different types of definitions here. So we'll use real estate agents as an example.
Mm-hmm.
One of those book titles is Famous 50 Realtors. A realtor in a local market could pay $50 to get in the book. There will be 50 people in the book. And of course, then they'll have a four-page spread with a picture and a bio, and use that book as either a vanity piece to just give to their family.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll buy copies, of course, if they want to. My publishing cost will be right around the same price for the cost of the book to put it together.
Yep.
And any revenue stream that comes from it, I'm going to give it to charity anyway, is on the back end when people order 10 or 20 books just to give to their uncles and aunts, just to look how popular I am, I'm in a book. So it's kind of a cute twist on vanity publishing, and we'll see where it goes. But there's about 113 categories. There's realtors, you know, my kick would be to get 50 psychiatrists in there.
let's share notes. That'd be an interesting book to read. I'm pretty sure of that.
Well, I mean, it's interesting. If you get 50 realtors in, you know, in a book, they're all going to have their own philosophies, and it'd be an interesting read on human nature in that industry.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
Yeah, so, and the different, you know, accountants, MPs, as an example, politicians, you know, whatever, hotels, spas, there's 113 categories that I've identified.
That's fantastic. And now I will, again, make those links back to these wonderful websites. Now, a couple of things I'd love to touch on. When you get an idea, how do you go about capturing it, and who do you tell first?
Well, first thing I do is write it down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I sit on it for however long that is. I've had ideas for months before I do anything. And then I use my little favorite. It's so low tech. I mean, my grandkids laugh at me, but I use the 3x5 cards.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And my desk is loaded with dozens of 3x5 cards. I mean, my desk looks like an archaeological dig of business cards.
Yeah, I can picture it now.
But that's why I write it down. I document what I consider the core part of the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And over a period of time, I mean, here's the thing: you will attract what you manifest. So if you're thinking along, you know, a certain line, you're going to attract other parts to that puzzle, and then you can document them. And that's what I do. So I'll end up with, typically on a developed idea, I'll have 30, 40, 50 cards. The cards that I had, which have now transitioned into a file folder, and that has now gone into my database on my computer. For the idea man, I've got about 150 sheets of paper in the file folder,
mm-hmm.
and all of that data in one form or another is now going onto that website.
So. Yeah, yeah.
But it's expanded from the original concept.
Yeah, it's amazing how you're processing these things. I'm sitting here thinking to myself, if I had been doing this for a length of time and I had gathered all of this experience, you know, you can only get with boots on the ground experience. How would you best sum it up for that, you know, that young entrepreneur who's coming through the ranks now for them? What would you be saying to them if they're in front of you asking, what do I do?
Well, what I would do, which I did not do, by the way.
funny that.
I would take that single idea and work it to the core until it either dies a natural death, or you can develop it into something that's workable.
Mm.
In other words, just stay focused. I have a little expression on my desk. I call it FAR, okay? It's the FAR statement.
Mm-hmm.
You can focus, you take action, and you get results. FAR. Have you applied the FAR technique to whatever you're doing? And if you do that on a focus basis with an idea in the development of it, then you're going to be a happier person, because you won't be like a whirling dervish, which is what I get to sometimes. But I mean, that's just me, you know, and everybody has their own unique way of functioning, and it drives my wife crazy, but I'm okay.
I can just see that now. David, I know that you do a fair bit of traveling. You were recently in California, wasn't it?
Yes. Uh-huh, right.
Are you still doing any speaking, and what's coming up in the pipeline for you?
As a matter of fact, I was just asked by a Mensa group to go to Texas.
Oh,
and
I'm
not Mensa. Trust me, I'm not. I said to the lady, I said, well, I'm not in Mensa. She said, no, you don't have to be to come and talk to us, but they'd love to hear your stories. I said, okay, when? So that looks like it'll probably be August or September. I'm not exactly sure. And to answer your question, yes, I do speaking engagements on a number of subjects. Marketing is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship is another one. Entrepreneurship, of course. And in a push, I can do a pretty good job on real estate. We had a pretty thriving real estate business before it collapsed in 2008.
Oh, and the year 2008, one that many won't forget.
You got that right. We had 70 odd properties at one time before it collapsed.
And, wow.
You know, went on TV to get investors, private investors. I didn't do, and we did it as an individual privately. I'm not a licensed agent.
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't like the restrictions and all the formalities and,
yeah,
you know, a 27-page document to get it listed and so on. So, no, I've, matter of fact, we just got back from California doing just that. We finally took care of the last property we have in California.
So. Oh, fantastic. So, with all of this wonderful content, all of this insight, this experience, where can people find you, David?
Best thing would be to go to my website, which is davidselly.net.
Fantastic. Well, look, everybody who is on the call with me today, you can just tell by this conversation that there is a depth and a breadth of knowledge and experience that you cannot get unless you've had boots on the ground for many years doing this. David, I've just had such a wonderful time spending some time with you on the My Future Business Show.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it too. It's always fun.
Thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the call, then make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, share us with your friends, and book your spot on the show at myfuturebusiness.com/interviews. And if you're looking for solutions that will help grow your business, then visit myfuturebusiness.com/shop.